Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike Farron, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, now singing the Mike Farron Open, it's Mike Stibbs.
Just make sure it sounds sexy, Stibbs.
Lord Almighty, how can you stand Arizona? Your fair skin must be burning down into your absent soul. Mike, 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 we can barely hear you. It sounds to me like you called us from inside a hole. But your phone calls lift me higher, like the ERA of Mark Pryor. Your hair looks like it's on fire. You're Mike Farron.
It's time to play Russian roulette with the phone. Because he's back on the phone.
Folks!
I believe live in Scottsdale today, Mike Farron.
No. I'm actually on my way to Chase Field. I've got to do some fill-in work, so I'm on my way downtown Phoenix.
Oh, so you're still doing Diamondbacks radio this week?
Well, yeah. They needed somebody to cover to fill in, so they asked me. Nobody else was available.
Well, that
you should have contacted Eisenberg. He's filling in for everybody.
That's true.
Days.
Eisenberg's doing everybody's jobs now.
I know. Eisenberg will probably do like 3 weeks for me on Sirius at some point.
There you go.
Probably. Well, hopefully the fill-in won't be required in a couple of weeks when you come here to Omaha.
No, I don't think it will be. But I am happy to be with you to talk baseball and break up the monotony of talking about what time Big Ten football games start.
Hey, we've only done that for one segment today, Farron. Just one.
Yeah, but the segment was 2 hours long, Josh.
Yeah, we're way behind clock right now.
By the way, Purdue's still hanging in there, but they've gone to the bullpen again.
Ooh.
It's 3-3 against Purdue and the Rutgers in the seventh inning of the Big Ten tournament.
Hey, that Iowa loss this morning was not a good one for them. For a team that's right on the bubble there, man, I really felt like they needed to go deep through the winner's bracket to have a chance at an at-large. And if Rutgers loses this, we might be looking at a one-bid Big Ten.
You think Rutgers is that tenuous right now?
Yes, I do. I do. And Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball did a really good job of outlining this morning. I don't know if you had a chance to read his running diary.
I have not.
But when you start to really go through the numbers of who is probably in, there's like six bubble spots, and they're all in the RPI range of right where Rutgers is. So it's like Rutgers, it's like half of Conference USA, it's like Ole Miss. I mean, there's probably, I think there were probably 12 teams that he had listed there, but Rutgers is right in that mix. They're not safe. And I was surprised to read that this morning, but Mark is Nerdmaster General. He knows this stuff backwards and forwards. And if he says Rutgers is on the bubble, Rutgers is on the bubble.
Well, I know you talked to one of the committee members last week.
The chair, Mike Buddy.
The chair, yes, from Army. Did you get a chance to ask him? Because I'm looking at Rutgers right now. And while Rutgers is 43rd in the RPI, and you mentioned Ole Miss, they're in that neighborhood. Alabama's in that neighborhood. Santa Barbara's in that neighborhood. But the one thing that really stands out as I'm just kind of looking across their report, they've only played four Q1 games, and they're only 1-3. How much does that matter in baseball?
That was something that we didn't get into with them, but I think it's a great question, and I'm sure that for those teams that are on the bubble, it's going to be discussed. Now, here's what I thought was interesting, and then I'll go back and give you analysis from other people who've dealt with the committees a lot longer than I have. Mike Buddy is the chair of the committee, so he only gets one vote. But if we've ever been on a committee before, you know the chair, as much as they say, oh, I call bathroom breaks and do the press conference, like they set the agenda and they tend to have a little bit more weight in their influence than the other nine members of the committee. What he said he felt was really important, or one of the things that was really important, was winning your conference in the regular season. I think this is probably more directed at those teams that might be like a Campbell, right? Campbell lost this morning. Their RPI number isn't great, but if they were to go, you know, say, lose in the finals of the Big South, maybe you feel like you still have a chance. That's a really good team. I mean, they went 20-3 in their conference during the regular season. So that was one thing that he brought up. He also, you know, made it sound like conference record was pretty important, which to me puts those 14-16 and 13-17 regular season ACC and SEC teams on notice. And maybe he was just saying all the things I wanted him to say, because he also talked about it shouldn't just be about the RPI, and it shouldn't just be about your opponent's strength of schedule. It should be about the attempt to schedule well, which I do think is important, because there's only so much you can control in that. But we didn't get into Q1 or Q2 wins.
Okay.
And so he said all this, and it sounded really good. But the thing is that when push comes to shove, the committee almost always leans on RPI, right? And it's the most defensible statistical backing for them. So that's where Rutgers sits, is that you're right. They have very few Q1 wins. They're, what, 1-3, you said?
1-3.
So, yeah, I mean, and it would be a shame, I think, if that team missed the tournament, because they're really good. I mean, Lesko, you know, let off the game against Purdue today with a home run. He's a dude. Like, they have some legit players there. And, I think it would be a shame if Iowa misses it, too. I think Iowa's a team that I think could be really dangerous in a regional, because Adam Mazur is awesome. So, like, I'm a little bit concerned about the Big Ten, that if Maryland goes through and runs the table on the tournament, that they're going to end up, that they might end up being a one-bid league. Now, the other part of that is, will Maryland win the tournament? I mean, what incentive do they have? They're pretty well locked in as a national seed at this point.
Yeah, Maryland comes in as the number three team in the RPI. Now, the interesting thing about Maryland, too, again, partially because of where they're located in the conference they're in, they have not had a lot of Q1 games. They're only 3-4 against Q1, Maryland is. But, again, Maryland's third in the RPI, and they're also the Big Ten regular season champs. And I know, Mike, you brought up, I think when you brought up the conversation about talking with the committee chair last week or 2 weeks ago, you brought up UConn. UConn is right there near Rutgers. They're the regular season Big East champs. But if Creighton, for example, goes through Prasco Park, wins the Big East tournament championship, you know, UConn's in a spot. They only played one Q1 game this year, and they're 1-0.
Right.
But they did win the Big East. So, you know, they're the regular season. So that might give them a leg up. Though Rutgers went 17-7 and finished a half game out from Maryland. So it's kind of odd.
I mean, I think all those things are strong. And I think the other part you have to remember with, and this is where teams like UConn and Rutgers, you have to really delve into the numbers too. You know, a lot of those Q1, Q2 games, or those teams that have a ton of them, are either like you're doing it in conference play, like in the SEC or the ACC, or you're in spots where there's a lot of crossover in midweek where you can end up with a fair amount of top 50 to top 100 RPI games, which is a little more challenging to do in, you know, New Jersey. It's not quite as bad in Maryland, but you know, you need to be able to have those games as well, and it's not always easy. I think it's a challenge for UConn. What major program really wants to schedule UConn? You know, for a weekend early in the year, it's tough to do. Maybe you try and do it for a midweek, but look at the other schools around there. Like, who's really an RPI boost for the Huskies, right? It's, you know, Rutgers is pretty good, okay? If you can get a midweek with Maryland, great, you know? But if you schedule Boston College, that's a drag on your RPI.
Right.
So I think there are a couple of things that kind of factor in there where you still have to grade northern schools in particular, I think, on a little bit of a curve with that.
Mike, I want to ask you a big picture college baseball question, because, you know, Nebraska and Creighton were both affected last weekend by weather out on the East Coast. And, of course, we know that the reason that they're playing teams that far east in the first place, in Nebraska's case, is because of football and television revenue, and in Creighton's case, it's because of basketball and television revenue. And one of the local columnists here for the World Herald, he threw out the idea in a column on Tuesday for the World Herald about, like, baseball going to a much more regionally based model. Really, the purpose of conferences, you know, back in the days in which they were actually founded. Is that something, I guess, a two-pronged question for you. Is an idea like that even feasible, one? And the second part would be, would coaches and programs even want to do something like that inside the sport itself?
I think it's feasible? No, because I think that you have all of these conferences that are contracted to, you know, by television networks in order to fill out, you know, basically they're contracted to make a whole ton of money from these television networks, right? So there's no benefit to all of a sudden creating better regionalization. I mean, make no mistake, the reason why the Big Ten added Rutgers and Maryland isn't because they thought they were really nice places to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're in major markets, you know, and it drives television revenue. And even as we're getting away from the traditional linear TV model, those networks that are providing sports coverage that go beyond just what an RSN does, say, more locally, like if you had, say, you know, Bally Sports, you know, Minnesota or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I think have a big advantage. So I don't think it's feasible. Would coaches want to do it? I don't know. I mean, I think from an administrator standpoint, you're looking to save costs wherever you can. So can you do that? But most of your schedule is regional anyway, outside of you know, conference tournament games or maybe an early season where you might go on the road, right? So like if you're playing in the Midwest, your midweek games are all going to be around teams that are close to you. And hell, Iowa was scheduling D3 teams for midweek.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they had Loras and I think Cornell on their schedule this year.
Yeah, and they lost to Loras.
Ivy League Cornell. Yeah. Thank you. I'm John, I'm glad you pointed out that my Loras Duhawks defeated Iowa this year. Thank you for bringing up my alma mater again.
Damn right. Duhawk, baby.
They did not make the D3 tournament, though.
Oh, that's a shame. I mean, you would think, well, you know why? Because Iowa probably pulled them down in the D3 RPI. You know, it is a Big Ten school, after all.
You know, the road to Cedar Rapids, John.
I'm Mike Farron.
That's not where Loras is. Loras is in Dubuque.
Mike Farron joining us from SiriusXM MLB Radio. Was the, over to the pros, was the one-game suspension for Josh Donaldson MLB's way of saying, we had to do something, but there wasn't enough evidence of intent to do everything, or do more?
No, I think it was more precedence. I mean, I think Tim Anderson was suspended for using the N-word in describing Brad Keller, even though that likely has a different meaning coming from a black man than it does from as a slur from a white person. And that's where I think the league went. Everything the league does when it comes to suspension is based on precedence, like it would be in court. Remember, a labor attorney runs the league. So I think that's where it is. I don't think it was anything more or less than that, in that they decided that based on, you know, they have a precedence in place for something like that, and they issued it that way, even if you know, there are many people who feel like it was way too low. But I also think that you know, in fairness to the league, in this vast majority of suspensions get handed, everybody thinks are way too low, in large part because there's precedent, because they don't want to have to lose an appeal on it.
What did you think, Mike, of the reaction from, I guess, parties on both sides? There was, you know, what Tony La Russa said, and I thought Aaron Judge had some pretty pointed comments about his teammate.
I thought Aaron Boone did, too, you know, like the manager of the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he said that's not a place that Josh needs to go. Now, Aaron has two adopted sons who are black. I mean, like this, Josh Donaldson's an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way around it. Like, this is not the first time that he's done something stupid like this. And Anderson's comments about, you know, when he said, well, this is an inside joke. Anderson said in 2019 that Donaldson tried to do this to him and he told him not to do it again. You know, so like, I don't know. You know, John and I can have inside jokes because we're friends. Josh, you and I don't because we're not. You know, like, I mean, that's the whole thing. Is like, this isn't the first time Donaldson's done something. Do I think? I don't know what's in Josh Donaldson's mind or upbringing or makeup or anything like that. What I would guess is that Josh Donaldson wasn't thinking about it in that manner. That he was thinking about it as a way to get under Tim Anderson's skin. because I think Josh Donaldson likes to rub people the wrong way, because that's part of what he needs to do to get ready to play on a nightly basis. So I don't know fully what his intent is. I think that's what it is, but it could be wish casting on my part too, because I would much rather have it be something like that than have it be something worse.
Yeah, I listened to Tim Anderson. He was on Bomani Jones's podcast yesterday. I listened to it this morning, and he said that there was that incident. It happened in 2019. That was the first time. And he basically told him, like, don't say that. And then nothing happened again. He said, I think in a game earlier this season, he slid, and Donaldson, like, put his knee on his back as he was coming in. And so I think that by that point, he was pretty frustrated, and then Donaldson said what he did, and it went off into that regard. But he essentially mentioned what you just did, Mike. Like, we're not friends. We can't have inside jokes. I'm not your friend.
Yeah, I saw that once upon a time with the Trevor Bauer, Alex Bregman stuff. And they're not. They don't get along. Like, no matter how much Trevor Bauer said, oh, no, we're buddies. It's not true. They aren't. And Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson aren't friends. So there's not, like, Josh Donaldson is not the most popular player in clubhouses. He's not the most popular player with teammates. And that's fine. You don't have to like everybody that you work with. Right, John? I mean, like.
Exactly.
You work with Josh.
It happens all the time.
This is getting way too mean. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go Josh Donaldson on you, Josh. I do like you. I love you.
Oh, nice. Mike and I are friends. Inside jokes about to abound. I'm going to start texting you all the time now, Mike.
Well, if
you, mean,
I mean,
you don't already.
Now, Mike, if you really wanted to go Josh Donaldson on Josh, you'd just call him Michael.
No, I think I have to go back further than that to really get under, really irritate Josh.
Bob Bruce?
That's where I was going.
Were you a guest in the Bob Bruce days?
Was I a guest in the Bob Bruce days? I used to do a show in Cedar Rapids, too.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Really? Okay, yeah, I was trying to remember what the lineage is.
Way back.
I was trying to remember what the lineage is. That's true. Oh, old time day with my...
We get Kevin and Michael, we get John and Michael, we get John and Josh, we get whoever finally replaces Josh.
John and somebody else.
John and Nick.
No. I'd love to see Nick's baseball questions.
By the way, Nick, can you give us an update on the Rutgers, please?
The Rutgers are up 6-3 over Purdue. There's two runners on bases, 2 and 3. There's
Are they runners or are they people?
Currently standers on the plate.
Farron, earlier Nick was doing a live update, and he said there's a person on second. Not a runner. It was a person on second.
Spot the lie, Josh.
We all had a good laugh.
There were people on 2 and 3. Nick, we're not taking calls.
That is your producer of the 2022
calling.
College World Series,
let's
by the
go
way.
On two. Hello, let's go. You're in scoring position. Hello.
Yeah. The Rutgers just scored a run, by the way.
Oh, two of
two
them.
Runs.
Wow.
Now it is 8-3. Baseball. Bases are loaded.
Thank God you didn't call
Never
them
mind.
Points.
There's just one. What?
Thank God you didn't call them points.
That's true. That's
you did
true.
Not call them points. Yes, that, ladies and gentlemen, there is your on-site producer for the 2022 College World Series.
I played All-Star Baseball 2003 on my Game Boy. Thank you. I know a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, a little being the operative word.
All right. Well, Mike Farron filling in for doing a little Diamondbacks coverage. Will you get a chance to see any Pac-12 baseball, or are you going to be too busy?
I was there yesterday. Yeah, I went out yesterday. I spent most of the afternoon there. I have an early bedtime these days, so I only made it through the first 6 innings of Oregon State Washington. But I was there for the Stanford ASU game and for the end of Arizona Oregon, and it was warm. But it's great to see the Pac have a tournament. I'd say there was probably close to 3,000 people there, which on a sun-splashed afternoon when it was like 105 degrees, I think is pretty good.
Wow.
A lot of people for today. You know, Cooper Jerby's pitching today for Oregon State, and so that's going to draw a lot of attention. And Jacob Melton is starting to get some late first round buzz. Their center fielder, and Stanford's got some really good players. Brock Jones is probably either a late day one or early day two pick. So There's a lot of excitement, a lot of and Daniel Susak will go in the top 10. He homered twice yesterday in the first game. So it was great. It was a lot of fun to get to see a bunch of people. I hadn't seen Shotgun Spratling in forever, so that was really awesome to see. My wife was like, "You have a friend named Shotgun," and I was like, "Everybody in college baseball has a friend named Shotgun."
It's a solid name.
It is a solid name.
Mm-hmm.
It is a
solid
name.
Do you guys know Shotty? He's been to Omaha before.
I don't know if I've ever met Shotgun. I don't know if I've ever been introduced to him.
He just moved out east, but he did West Coast coverage for a long time. He's covered USC for years and years. He's an aces human being. Yeah. I love that dude.
Well, we're a Stitchhead group out here.
Yeah. Have him on.
We haven't talked to Stitchhead for a while. We need to catch up with Eric.
He's in the Big 12, I think. So.
All right. There you go. Well, we'll be catching up on all of them. All right, Mike Farron, ladies and gentlemen of SiriusXM MLB Radio. Thank you, Mike. Have a good call tonight.
Bye, Mike.
All right. See you guys later.
There he is, Mike Farron of SiriusXM MLB Radio.
Folks, his phone still sucks. Holy crap. It's like a half second behind.
Well,
the delay was terrible.
I know. I'm grading on a curve.
Oh, better than it used to be, but still
not very good. That's an A.
Yeah. If his old phone was like the 95 Huskers of bad phones, this one is still like 93. You know, getting to the championship but losing.
At the very end there,
mm-hmm.
old Byron Bennett hooked the kick.
That's true.
But
he was rushed.
It was pretty good in the middle.
He was rushed. He had too much time. Kyle says, "Who cares about the Big Ten tourney? Can John give us a Cubs score update? Have you seen this? Have you heard about
this?" They got destroyed.
They lost 20-5.
Was it that bad?
That's like a weird football score.
Son of a beast.
20-5.
Man, that's going to hurt the old run differential.
Who are they playing?
The damn Reds.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
That wasn't good at all.
Oh, no. The Reds, they're terrible.
I know.
By osmosis, the Cubs, also terrible.
Well, yeah.
Ooh. Oof.
You're not going to hurt my feelings, those of you wanting to troll. I know the Cubs are bad this year.
Okay.
You're not going to hurt my feelings. I have no feeling left.
By the way, I don't know if this is sports flash worthy, but Cam Chick has just announced that he will be foregoing his fifth year at Nebraska.
Does that mean he's not going to play at all, or is he leaving Nebraska?
The end of his statement said, "With that being said, I've decided to forego my fifth year of eligibility and finish out my schooling. There is truly no place like Nebraska."
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know.
So that sounds like he's just done playing college baseball. That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck to Cam Chick. All right. Let's see. We still have Robbie.
Mm-hmm. In an hour.
Robbie's coming up in an hour. And also still to come, had another survey about college football teams and how they did with their draft picks. Also, we have to tip of the cap to someone who's no longer with us.
Okay.
Coming up on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.